Hello there. Welcome on in. Welcome on into what? It's a Tommy Edison Experience podcast, my friend. I am Tommy Edison, of course. The gentleman you can't see, his name is Ben Churchill. How are you, good sir?
Very good, Tommy. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm all right, thank you. Ready to have a little fun today. We got some good stuff to talk about here. We got a little Guess What's in the Mail coming up in this episode. We've also got some canned questions. We've got autonomous vehicles in the news and some incredible footage from a very, very popular tourist attraction here in Southern California. All sorts of things to discuss and get into. So, should we start?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, Ben Churchill. Let's go. Let's start with these autonomous vehicles. They are in San Francisco. It's incredible. Listen to what's happening with these. Oh, was I too quick?
Yeah.
As of today, we've received a permit from the California DMV to remove the human backup drivers from our fleet of autonomous vehicles.
Whoa.
I started Cruise 7 years ago, and since then, thousands of people from Cruise and GM have worked together to build the fleet of autonomous vehicles we have on the road today. And the upcoming Cruise Origin, the first production vehicle designed from scratch to serve the passengers, not the driver. So there's no steering wheel and pedals, and related to today's announcement, there's no human backup driver.
Whoa.
We've accumulated—
What could go wrong? What could go wrong, Ben? There's no pedals, no wheel. No, this is perfectly fine.
In San Francisco.
And so, now I'm told, and this may not be true, but I'm told that they test a lot of things like this in San Francisco because of the topography, because of the hills and stuff, and because of, you know, the windiness of it, you know, Lombard Street and others that are, you know, very tricky to navigate. So yeah, that's, I mean, you know, they do it in other places too. That I understand Scottsdale, Arizona was a big testing ground for these vehicles. Or like even Chandler, right? There's another one.
Right.
But
they always had somebody in the car, right?
Yeah. But now they're removing the human.
Over 1 million miles of fully autonomous driving in complex urban environments and built an AI that can not only handle the mundane parts of driving, but also handle the crazy stuff that we see on the roads of major cities every day.
What?
The easy part of driving is actually pretty easy, but it's about 100 times harder to build an AI that can safely and comfortably navigate through cluttered scenes filled with people doing rare or unpredictable things.
So it's showing like a split screen.
Okay. Oh, so cool. All right. So what are they showing here? I don't even know. I didn't even think. I was just listening to him talk.
Right. The lower part of the screen shows it's real video. It's like it's just a dash cam.
Yep.
Footage of
from inside
driving,
the car
shooting outside,
okay.
Showing driving around, people crossing the street, they come to an intersection, they stop, show all the people crossing. The other top half of the screen is like a almost like a computer animation of sort of an, it's like an x-ray catching, picking up on all the movement of what's going on,
right?
But it's an overhead view. This is, I'm sure it's computer generated, just to just give you an idea of what it's picking up on.
But safe driving isn't just about building the AI that drives the car.
Okay.
It's about building a hardware and software system that can handle rough roads, bad weather, or even quantum bit flips caused by solar flares. It's rare, but that can actually happen. So we're testing our system now on a private testing ground, and there's literally no one in the car here, to ensure that no matter what happens, our system can safely come to a stop.
Yeah, they're showing a car driving by without anybody inside, coming to a stop sign, like in like an industrial office park type thing.
Let me, is it time to ask this? Would you get him one of these?
No.
Me neither.
No.
People, I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me, you know, in recent years when this stuff is first being sort of bandied about, well, Tommy, this is going to be perfect for you. Now you can have your own car. I'm like, no. I will stay in a manned vehicle. Thank you very much. This just seems too weird to me. There's so many variables on the road. I get nervous walking. You know,
yeah,
crossing some of those busy streets that, you know, around here, you know, with the two lanes each way, so you got to, like, I got to stop in the middle and make sure it's quiet again and then go. It's no, I'm good. I'll pass.
This seems a bit early. There's a lot of videos online that show, you know, because there's also automated driving, right? That's where
assisted driving. Yep.
Assisted driving.
Yep.
It's not quite this. This is a first major step.
Yeah, and the assisted driving will brake for you, for example, right? It'll take over the brakes or, you know, help you with that kind of thing, or, you know, maybe help you swerve or whatever. But this is complete. There's nobody in the car. And no pedals and no wheel. Wow.
Let's pull up another video. This is a demo from Waymo.
Oh, okay. This is a Google company, Waymo. They've been around this for years, too.
As it drives, Waymo uses LiDAR, which sends out millions of laser beams per second to build up a detailed picture of the world all 360 degrees around it. It also uses radar to detect how far away objects are and their speed. And high-resolution cameras detect visual information, like whether a traffic signal is red or green. It then combines all that data to understand the world around it. For example, in this fraction of a second, it knows exactly where it is on the road.
I hope so.
I hope it makes that noise every time.
Yeah. So in certain conditions, like a flat street, sun's in the right spot, it should go well.
Well, sure. Look, I would think, you know, you remember where my mom lived, right? That, you know, in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Around there, perfectly fine. Hey, no problem. You know, it's okay. But down a busy street and stuff, I can't imagine this thing trying to cross the George Washington Bridge, you know, or trying to get, like, getting through the Bronx and all the, it's, you know, it's tricky. The Bruckner and all that stuff, it just,
Yeah, I would not trust this at all.
No. Good.
No.
It's nice to hear a sighted person say that.
No way.
But, you know, because I always thought that I was being a little premature, you know what I mean? Going, oh, I don't want to do, but I'm glad to hear you're on the same boat as me. It makes you feel much better, you know?
No, just spend 5 minutes searching on Google and you'll see, or on YouTube and you'll
and
see.
And there'll be malfunctions and all sorts of things where, I mean, people have been, you know, I'll tell you what, Ben, I think, you know what I think is going to be the game changer for the, because all these cars are quiet. They're all silent.
Oops. Yep, go ahead.
Well, is that the train? That sounds like the train, that light rail. But all these things are silent. And I don't think it's going to be like a blind person getting hit that's going to make people sort of, I think people are going to be, when they're pets, because animals don't hear these things, right? They don't make any noise. So like dogs and cats are victims of these kind of cars. Yep.
Yeah.
Cause the noise is really key to them. I mean, especially a dog has, you know, good hearing. The sense of smell is probably their best, but, they have decent hearing. And so I think that's going to be the thing to make, cause these cars need to start making noise. They just do.
They have video on YouTube, that I'm playing in the background here. Of them, it's like a this is one of their cars, San Francisco, driving around.
And how's it look?
Is for about an hour. And it's going up and down these hills.
It's not weaving in and out of traffic or anything. It's not, you know.
No, it's a good example.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, look, this one, it didn't quite work so good, but we figured we'd show you this one here.
Right. But this vehicle probably had somebody in it just because they didn't have permission to do that yet.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, now they do.
Yep.
Yeah, so they were testing it in San Francisco, I guess, right, with people in the car, but and then without and, people in the car and on that close course.
Yep, and other places, too. So. They've been testing it with people in the cars. You know, that's been going on for a couple of years. And, boy, you know, and what they want to do with this, like, they want to make Uber and Lyft this. Get the people out of that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's, oh, sure. When you get the automated drive, the big rig driver will be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart. I mean, everything you touch in a given day, anything you touch throughout the day was brought to you by a truck, a big rig. Mm. Yep. And there's tons and tons of people that drive those things. It's crazy work. And I got a lot of love for those guys. And they are going to be out of work soon if this all works.
I'm curious if we're alone on this, if other people would think.
I wonder. Well, you know what? There's one way to find out, Ben.
There is. You know what, Tommy? There's a comment section.
There's a comment section right here. And you know what? You should use it. Because now I really would. I'd love to know what you think.
Would you get one of these cars without
a driver? Would you get one? Or would you even get in one? Like, would you, if a Lyft showed up at your house with no driver, would you get in?
Right. Or if you're on the app and it says, get a ride 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah,
get
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Instead of waiting
with
15.
No driver. Yep. Oh.
That's where it will start to happen. No, I'll wait the 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'll wait the 15 as well.
My stupid groceries.
Sorry, you know.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Besides, who am I going to talk to?
So stay tuned. And also, by the way, with all the riots and protests in San Francisco, with these cars driving around, I suspect we're going to see some property damage.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you?
Bad timing, personally. Well, hey.
Listen. That's why we don't do that for a living.
That's
Ben.
Right.
That's why we do this. Yeah, but if you have any thoughts or whatever, I would love to hear from you, honestly. So just right there in the comments.
Please do.
Please.
One little trick here. One little note.
Ooh, that sounds like we're going to play a game. But now I understand. I don't know much about this. But no, I love you. It's my Aaron Neville impression, everybody.
It's been years since I've heard that.
I'm singing all the time doing this show, and I'm awfully sorry about that. But I love music. And I love to sing. But you do have a musical game for us. Is that true?
We do. I'm just caught up in your impression.
Thank you, Aaron. Sir. I didn't do it too good today, actually. I did a bad job, but...
It's been a while. You used to do it in the old shows, right?
Yeah, when we worked together. There's a funny recording of me doing it. Where our MP, the other person on the show, was come on, do your impression.
Do we have that anywhere? No, I do have you singing this, though.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
That's from the morning show, 2007 or 8 or something.
Wow. You know who recorded that? Charlie recorded that for the first Star Idol.
Oh, is that before? Oh.
You weren't there yet. He recorded that and just soaked it in reverb, and it just sounded wicked. It sounds so good.
I didn't realize that was from that.
Yeah. He was doing a Star Idol promo, and he said, and I don't know, he just put a bunch of reverb on, and I just went, the summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
How did I end up with it?
You know how? Because you found all the stuff. When people leave a radio station, they invariably leave a ton of things behind because you don't really know that you're going to be asked to leave.
That's right.
Right. And so when you do production and things like this, station imaging and all that kind of stuff, Charlie did a ton of that stuff. He was, worked like a maniac on things. And you were able to, you found it all because you were the next person to take that job after him.
Right. Making the station stuff.
Yep. Making all the different things that you hear between the records and stuff. And you found all this stuff. There was another friend of ours that sang for Star Idol as well.
They did?
Yeah. She did, what'd she do? That Shania Twain song. At this moment. From this moment. I believe. Forgive me. Wrong preposition. Yeah, but that was, that was nutty. Yeah, but that's.
One more time, Tommy.
Please.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
The kid from Connecticut, everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, sir. It's a very funny piece of sound.
You know I had that.
No, I did not know you had that. That's right after I quit smoking, too.
That's very good.
Right after. Oh, that's great. All right, so a musical game.
So back to the game. Here, we'll start over.
One little trick here, one little note.
By the way, that's an F, an octave and a half above middle C, that one little note at the end. It's true.
So in today's game, Tommy, we're going to play musical instruments, and you have to guess what it is based off its sound.
All right, Ben, that sounds easy enough. This sounds like I'll get into all sorts of trouble.
Here we go.
All right, sir.
What is this? We can take our time.
No, I know what that is. I know exactly how to play it. Now, unfortunately, the name of this thing... it can be considered offensive, but it was called the Jew's harp.
Oh.
And it's got nothing to do with anything. It's just what it was called.
That was just the word that was in there.
Uh-huh. And so what this thing is, it's a thing that you put between your two teeth, and there's one little kind of stick that you just pull back, and it just wham, wham. And so the shape of the inside of your mouth makes all the different sounds. There was a guy called Gene Shepherd, who was an old storyteller, and he used to play it. And I was like, wow, I want to learn how to play that thing. So I bought one and learned how to play it.
And now they call it a mouth harp?
A mouth harp, yes. Mm-hmm. A mouth harp. I was trying to figure out what the PC version of it was. But you hear the shape of the mouth. That. You can completely hear that. That shape of the mouth.
Does it vibrate your teeth?
A little bit. But when you start to play it and you get used to it, they even use it in bluegrass music and stuff. You know, all sorts of different things. And if you breathe in and out of it, it gives it a different sound too. Yeah, that's a cool piece. Wow, okay, that brings back memories there, Ben. Very good.
Nice.
That's a bell. Oh, sorry.
That's a game show sound.
That's a game show bell. Nice and clean, too.
Here we go. Next sound.
It's so tense. I love it. I'm going to guess... like penny whistle,
a whistle.
Yeah. It's not an ocarina.
No,
it's an Irish instrument, correct?
No,
it's, I don't know. It's, I feel like I've heard it in Irish music, but you see the way they could bend the notes and stuff like that. an ocarina had all holes in the side, so you couldn't do those tricks. What is that?
You're close. I mean, what you're, it's not a whistle.
Is it a, it's, you blow into it, right? That's a panpipe. Yeah, that's... Right, that's pan flute.
Flute.
Yeah. There was a guy called Zomfir that used to play that thing that you could buy his records in the middle of the night.
It's an Indian.
I don't know. What's it called?
That's it. Flute, Indian, Middle East, Indian. That's all I have here.
We're going to get in trouble.
That's all it says.
I'm
teasing. Missing the actual name.
That's a good one. I love that thing. I'd like one of those.
There we go. Here's another one.
Okay. That's a comedy instrument. I'm going to say that's...
They would use this in cartoons.
I'm going to say that's... Oh, that last note told me. It's comedy violin. I was going to say viola, but it's violin. No? Is it viola?
Oh, man.
No? Cello?
Oh.
Oh, okay. Boy, that's way up the neck on the cello.
Wow. It's a laughing cello.
That's wonderful. Yo-Yo Ma, man, he played. I've heard a couple things from him, and it's incredible that that's all. It sounds very electric when he gets real into it. You know, it's awesome.
Okay, here we go.
All right, sir.
What is this?
That would be a tambourine with the back part. It's not such a shaker. That's got the little drum head on the back. Yeah. Yeah. See, doing licks.
Nice.
I like that. Put the amen break on this, you got a hit.
You played that in the band?
Oh, sure. Played tambourine all the time. Loved it. Because, you know, the tambourine is really underrated, but it really helps to fill out the sound. You know what I mean? It's just that extra little element. Sometimes you need those 16th notes in the chorus and stuff, that shigga digga 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 digga, you know, and it just fills it out. It's a really nice touch. Tambourines and shakers and all that kind of stuff. I love percussion. I do.
Here's another one.
That is called a vibra slap. That's a percussion instrument as well.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's
how'd
a
you know
good
that?
One. Well, because I love that sound. Ever since I was a kid, I was fascinated by it. I've never actually played one. I've never touched one. Yep. And all this time, I've touched a guira and other things like that. You know, that fish thing that you, with the almost thimbles on your fingers and you know, that thing. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but it's a cool percussion instrument. You'd know it if you heard it. But that's a vibra slap. It's called a guira, G-U-I-R-A.
I've seen if I have it.
It means, I believe it's fish, and it's even in the shape of a fish.
Cool. I flipped that up.
That is, I believe this is called a celesta, something like that. This is the thing that used to play in Mr. Rogers all the time.
Interesting. This says your Glockenspiel.
Oh, that's a Glock. Okay. Yep. Okay. That is a Glock. Fair enough. Because you can hear the mallets. Yeah, there's a couple of mallets in each hand. All right. Glock is teeny tiny little xylophone kind of thing.
Some of these are pretty deep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Glock is a good one, dude.
Here we go.
Now, that's what you hear at the beginning of a horse race, like at the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness or... you know, the Belmont Stakes. I don't know if you hear that, you know, OTB every day, but that is, I'm going to say that's a bugle, not a trumpet, a bugle.
A bugle, that's correct.
Yeah, there's different sounds. And there's also, now don't trick me here with the cornet and the flugelhorn. There is a difference. I think I know which is which if you had both of them, but.
Well, I have here. That's certainly.
Yeah, that's a muted trumpet, I believe. Well, yeah, but see,
that's it.
Uh huh.
You're good.
Yep.
And next.
That's a trombone. That's a trombone with a mute.
It says your trumpets.
Oh, trumpets. Okay, fair enough. All right. Okay, because it was deeper, so I think, you know, because the trombone is a little bit lower, so they were sort of getting up into trumpet, you know, down towards trombone range, so.
These are wacky. Let's try this. Here we go.
That is a bassoon.
Wow.
Yeah. You know how I know that? P Peter and the Wolf. Yeah, Peter and the Wolf is this thing. Was it Stravinsky? I'm not terribly good at classical music, but when I was a kid, there were all sorts of different records of people. Captain Kangaroo does the intro to it. David Bowie does the intro to it. All sorts of people did the narration for this thing. And when I was a kid, so that's how I learned about a lot of things in the orchestra. The grandfather was diddy diddy boot doop boot doop 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 doop, something like that. Yeah, Peter and the Wolf, everybody.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. I'm doing the voices backwards. That is a wonderful organ.
There you go. A
giant organ. Not a pipe organ, though. An electric one. Oh, a little cymbal at the end. Nice.
Wow, you're very good at this game.
Thank you, sir. Well,
Let's see if I can find one to trick you for the last one here.
All right.
I mean, look.
Too bad you don't have flugelhorn and coronet. I'd be screwed. That's a guira right there. That's a guira.
No.
No? What do they say that is? The first part said, the second part did not. But that sounds like a guira. Right? Because you're rubbing it. Yeah. So you're going across this surface with some sort of a device on your finger, like a thimble or something like that. And you just.
Okay. Well, yeah. This is washboard.
Washboard. Okay. Yep. That is a washboard.
Very similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The washboard you heard in jug band music and things like that. And jug band music was essentially, you know, playing with just whatever was around, you know, wash tub bass and a washboard and stuff and kazoos and guitars and things. They just, you know, played anything they could. Jim Queskin was one of the great jug band guys way back. But if you're ever interested in that kind of thing, that's what you want to hear. Coney Island Sweetheart and all the Coney Island Baby, I think it was called. That is called a bell tree. No?
No.
You sure?
I'm going off what sound effects tell me. Flexitone.
Flexitone. I think that might slang. I think the slang for that thing is a bell tree. Yeah. Cartoons use that a lot.
Yeah, that's probably where I got it.
Yeah. See, because that bell stays the same note, and this one you can. That's a cowbell.
There you go. It's easier.
With the drumstick inside.
It takes you half a second to get these.
Oh, I know. That's a teeny tiny cowbell. That's a very teeny. That's like when you shake to get the dog in the house.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, nice job.
Thank you, sir. See, I told you I was a musician, Ben. You didn't believe me.
No. I knew.
Oh, I just fooled with the clock.
Oh, let's take another question from the audience.
Let's take another question from the audience. Let's go. Hand her over, Ben. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the one and only can of questions. This thing is filled with questions about just about anything, really. And they're from you. Oh, and this is the smallest little piece of paper ever. I'm going to guess. This question is why? Or what? Or who? Or where?
Here we go.
I almost sang. Annie Lennox.
What do you imagine drag queens look like? This is a comment. I remember reading this in the YouTube comments.
That's a fascinating question.
Yeah. What do you know from what you know, what you've heard? What do you imagine drag queens look like?
Okay. So from what I understand, these are like guys that dress as women, right? The clothing, the makeup, the whole thing, right?
Right.
And so,
simply put, yeah.
I know. I'm as basic as can be here. Yeah. But, for example, that Drew Paul's Drag Race show is a competition to see who is the best of the best of these guys trying to be women.
Right.
Yeah. So it seems odd to me that, like, there are some, I would imagine there's all different type of men that do this kind of thing, like big 6'7", 6'8" type of guys. To, you know, like guys, princess height, like 5'2", you know, or even smaller. So I imagine there's varying looks. I imagine some are better than others. Some are probably very attractive. And some, like, I remember Maury Povich used to do a thing before they brought the lie detector out and stuff, the old show. But they used to do a thing where they try and fool you. And you try and guess if it was a guy or a woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you couldn't tell. And because they'll do the voice too, or they'll raise their voice a little bit. I'm not quite sure.
That feels like a segment they probably don't do anymore.
No, they don't do that. No, because now all they got to do is just lie detector, everything. You are the father, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the, you know, the fighting and the whole thing on Maury. Yeah, but so I imagine that some look great and some look purposely bad. You know what I mean? Some, like, can't pull it off maybe, and they know it. And so it's a little bit exaggerated. Mm. I don't. Yeah, I feel like it's probably exaggerated.
Mm. Well, it is. Yeah. But I don't know if anybody wants to look bad.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Maybe that's people's opinions.
Okay.
Or being like, ooh, that does not, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or others are like, yeah, wow, that's
very
attractive.
But it's all the same thing. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And so if somebody is pulling this off well or not, again, that's up to you. There's not like a standard.
What about like a lot of it's in the face, makeup, hair? Do you have any idea of what?
I really don't. No, I honestly, the only thing I know about makeup is that it takes sort of the shine out of your face. Like, for example, if you sweat, you put on makeup so that you don't see that shine because it comes through on camera, right? And it's distracting or whatever for the viewer. But, like, that's pretty much all I know about makeup. Mm-hmm. I don't know what like, mascara does for your eyes. I suppose you paint around your eyes and do that. Like, blush, I don't know quite what that – I guess that brings color out of your cheeks. I don't know how it all works.
Sure.
Imagine I have three sisters and I don't know this stuff.
Well, you kind of do. It sounds like you kind of do.
I have an idea, but I'm just sort of taking from what I know, what I've kind of gathered up through the years and sort of mashing it all together and seeing if I'm close.
Right.
But yeah, I guess you can do a lot with makeup, can't you?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Makeup, lighting, wigs.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, wigs. Sure. Of course.
And yeah, and completely... look however you want to, from being a male to a female.
Wow.
Great. Let's do another one.
All right, let's go in again.
There's a lot of burning questions that need to be answered.
Watch out. Hold it with this part of my hand here so I don't burn my fingers.
Topic, sunglasses.
Sunglasses, okay. I almost sang again, Corey Hart.
Why do you and other blind people wear tinted glasses?
Okay, I can't answer for other blind people. I can simply answer for myself, okay? I'm just because I'm not the voice of them and they're not the voice of me. But I will tell you, I've talked about this before too, and I'll tell you, it's I was adamant about not wearing sunglasses. I actually worked for a guy, I interned for a guy that demanded that I wore glasses for the first little bit when I was at this radio station. He didn't like how my eyes looked or whatever. It made him uncomfortable, whatever it was. I don't know. But he didn't like it. And I started to voice my opinion to the guys in the newsroom that I was working with. And they're like, don't worry about it, kid. You're all right. You don't have to wear them. Forget it. Shh, we got you. And I was like, cool. So I was very adamant because, you know, I'm proud to be blind. You know what I mean? And I'm cool with it and stuff. But then when I lost all this weight, Ben came over and he had sent me a box of stuff from here when I was back in Connecticut. And he's like, do you ever go through it? I was like, no, not really. Because come on, we're going through it now. And Ben goes, here, look, these are a pair of sunglasses you spent $50 on. I said, $50? Give me that. And I put them on. And I started to wear it out. And the first thing I did with sunglasses on was try to see if I could fool somebody and make them think that I was actually a sighted person. So I did. I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm just working on a role, you know, for a film. And like, wow, you're doing great. And then people started to talk about how I looked. And they sort of liked it with, you know, my new look as a skinnier person. And they liked it with the glasses. So I said, well, all right. And the interesting thing was that people, like if sitting at a bar, for example, if they can't see my stick, they don't know whether or not I'm blind. And that's a weird way to sort of have fun with sighted people, you know. Again, to put one over on sighted person. Right. Always fun. Always. It's not what I'm trying to do all the time. But when I can do it, it's great. So, yeah. And then people said I look good with them. And so then I bought another pair. I bought these ones. And, you know, these have had all, I've told that story before. This is my third pair of these glasses.
from what I've heard, for people who might be legally blind, who can see a little maybe, that the sunglasses might help bring the brightness down.
Yeah, take some of the glare away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that way it can sort of help you if you're partially sighted, you know, to sort of concentrate on what you're trying to look at. Because it's hard enough, you know what I mean, with your vision, you know, real low like that. So any little bit could help. But...
I remember James Rath talking about his vision would vary throughout the day.
Throughout the day, yeah. He was like, you know, in the morning it's good. Sometimes if I get tired, my vision changes. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You can't even plan for anything like that. You know what I mean?
No.
That seems like a tough road, well, man. Yeah. You know, at least this, it's been consistent my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, it's always sort of been the same.
Right.
It's always been the same.
Pretty different deal.
Yep. It doesn't work, and it's, you know, it's all good.
All right. I'll do another.
Let's go one more time. All right. Pan's flying all over the place here. Another. Let's take a little one here. I like these little ones. Do-do-do-do-do. All right. Let's see what our topic is for question number 3. A can of questions.
Topic. You.
Me. Uh-oh.
No, you.
You. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
You.
Question is, what do you think you look like right now?
Okay. I mean, I can tell you some facts. I am, right, I have factual information for you. I know that I'm 6'1". I know that I weigh roughly 193 pounds. I know I have nice skin. You know, it's fairly clear. It's good. I've been told I'm handsome. A lot of people tell me I'm handsome. Or even some have said cute. I have, you know, short kind of salt and pepper hair. I have blue eyes.
How do you know you have salt and pepper hair?
From people telling me. Just people saying, oh, no, that's salt and pepper. Because I used to say I was, like, because I used to be dirty blonde. Like, you're not dirty blonde anymore, kid. You're salt and pepper. Really? Yeah. Yep. Okay, thank you. But yeah, but I, you know, so that's
eyes.
Yeah.
You said were what?
Eyes are blue. My nose. I feel like, I mean, everybody in my family's got the same nose. I'm told, or most of us do anyway. And that's okay. You know, it's not. Fine. It's a good nose.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah, I'd say it's run of the mill. You know, regular issue. But yeah, I think I'm pretty decent. You know, I feel like I talked about this recently, but when I was younger, I didn't know how I looked. Coming in, you know, in high school and stuff, I had no idea. But it was one of those things that I learned later in life and got to figure out. So, I'm, you know, and I'm pretty comfortable with how I look, honestly. I mean, I've been stopped on the street. People have stopped me literally walking around going, you know, you're a very good looking man. I was like, thank you very much. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really lovely. Thank you so much. And oh, you're very well put together and the glasses and the whole thing. You just look really good. It's happened to me like 3 times, twice out here and once in Connecticut.
You should get really angry. I'm offended you would say that.
How dare you say a thing like that to me? I can't even enjoy my own reflection in a mirror, for heaven's sakes. And you've got the gall to stop me on the street and tell me and break my cojones. Why I oughta? I've never been so offended in all my life.
Right. The one person.
Damn you to hell! Could you imagine? Oof. People just trying to be nice. You know, that's one thing I want to be really careful about and mindful of too. Is that when I'm out in the streets, because 9 out of 10 times the people that are going to interact with me on the street have never seen or even talked to a blind person before.
That is true.
You know. And so I want to be real mindful of that. Cause I used to be sort of sarcastic and flippant and that's not nice. People are only trying to help. There's no malice, mm-hmm. You know? And that was, you know, I learned that a bunch of years ago, but I figured it out one day. It was the weirdest thing. You were around. It was right after I almost got hit by a car. Remember that car ran over my cane?
Yes.
But like right around that time, I came home one day. I was like, I figured it out because I always thought I was effing it up walking around and things. That's why people needed to help me. And I went, no, people want to help because they've never seen this before and they themselves don't know what to do. So they just want to help out. They're all trying to be nice. So that changed my life. You know what I mean? To come to that realization.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So I'm very mindful on the street now. I don't smart talk anybody, you know, and some people help. They're an older person or whatever, you know, they sort of command some respect for me. I'm always, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, no, ma'am. I'm good. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. You know, and I just go on my way. My favorite is when the people, they worry about the cane hitting stuff. I'm like, no, that's what the cane's supposed to do. It protects me. careful, you're going to... I'm like, I know that Keynes is doing its job, my friend. It's all good. Thank you. I appreciate you. Have a great day. Bye-bye. You know, and off I go. And I just start trucking around, walking fast or whatever.
You think they're really afraid that the cane is getting... Or well, that you're going to end up hitting it?
Well, I don't think they realize how the cane works. Mm. That's, you know what I mean? That's what the cane's job is. The cane's job is to protect me.
Right.
Right? So, and it doesn't get, you know, there's, oh, dude. One time, there are these bicycle things to lock your bike up on corners and things like that. And I hit one of them one time. And I'm telling you what, dude, like an inch and a half over, it would have been a very painful experience. Because that's how high they are.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, for me. Oof. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Dude, like an inch. Inch
waist
and a half
below
to the right.
Waist level.
Yeah, tan four, yep. Right below the waist. And like 1 inch to the right. It would have been no more Father's Day for Tommy.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been the end of it.
Yeah. It happens to anybody. They're not paying attention.
Yeah. And they're just, and they're in a weird spot. And you just, so I'm very careful on corners and things like that. I'm very mindful walking around. I just, you know, when I can tell that it's wide open and stuff, I walk nice and fast. But when I'm into a place that's tight and there's all kinds of activity, nice and slow, nice as click, 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 nice and easy. And the game for me is not to hit anything, not to hit tables or any of that kind of stuff. No chairs, no tables. If I can make it through completely without touching a thing, that's like I won.
Yeah, right.
You know. So, yeah.
It's like Operation.
It is like Operation, yep. It's a modern reference for the kids, everybody.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's still around,
no,
right?
Oh, of course it is.
I would think.
I would think so, too.
Do you have your cane with you right there?
I do. I have my cane.
I usually see it under the table.
Yeah, it's right here. So this is it folded up. Right. And it's in what, 5 pieces? And look, we got a new tip for it and everything. And this tip really makes a difference. It's incredible. But yeah, this, and you can tell it's a little beat up, right? I'm sure. And
tip
this
makes
one,
the difference. What do you mean? It's that design?
This tip? Well, no, actually, because the other ones wear down. I mean, this one took a long time to wear down. The other ones wear down quickly. And remember, the cane, it gets shorter as the stick wore down.
All right. By 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah, by a long time. By this whole piece, you know, would start to wear down. You know, the tip, and then it's all gone, and then, you know. So I really like these, and these are from a company called Ambutech out of Winnipeg, Canada. I've been using these canes for a very long time. Love them. So, yeah, this is the official walking stick of the Tommy Edison Experience Podcast.
That's great.
As per by name.
Thanks for sharing.
No, thanks for letting me show it to you. It's so funny, right? You would think there'd be so much more technology, but you really don't need any more. The stick, it worked really well. And sometimes I have to keep my arm out in front of me, you know, to protect my face.
All right.
You know, but all that stuff, man, it works pretty great.
That makes sense. But you're right, because your upper half would totally be.
Yeah,
anything.
It's exposed. I mean, I remember one time walking around and I hit the side of an open door of a truck with my head.
With the back of a truck.
Yeah.
The door was. Right.
Open.
Delivery truck or
yep,
something.
Yep. Exactly right. And it rang my bell, man. I just said, I turned around and aborted the mission. I was like, I don't need to go anyplace. I'm good.
Yeah. Because that truck, the door starts, the bottom of it's like 4 feet off the ground.
Yes. Yep.
So exactly. Your cane slid right underneath.
Right underneath.
Clear. No problem.
Nope. And then boom.
But you.
Yep. Right in the noggin. So it's amazing all the head injuries and stuff, because there have been many of them. That's why I won't shave my head, because I feel like my head's all dinged up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Getting rocks thrown at it and stuff as a kid, banging into things and cracking my head open on, you know, amplifiers and stuff like that back in the musical days. And, you know, oh, yeah.
That sounds fun.
One night after a gig, I was screwing around and just, I jumped down to do it, you know, like I was doing an imitation or something, and boom, just cracked my head on an amp. And they're like, we're going to the hospital. I'm like, what? I'm drunk. I can't go to the, we're going. You got to get this stitched up. So going to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning is always fun. The emergency room.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best time to go.
Well, there's
certainly... As long as it's not Friday night.
Well, that's right. And like in a small town, it's okay. But, you know, this is sort of, you know, a bigger city in Connecticut. But I don't know.
Nice.
I haven't been to the hospital a long time. So knock wood. Not, you know, not for a long time. So.
All right. We got something big here for you, Tommy.
All right. We have something big. Oh! Look what time is.
Yes. What's in the mail?
Look, it's a can of questions. No,
let's trade.
I'll trade you this. Oh, careful. Watch out.
That was not done on purpose.
Oh, wasn't? I thought you were doing nothing goof on me to make me laugh.
Look out for the mic. Let's do the overhead camera for this.
Oh, let's turn on overhead camera. Skycam, everybody, because it is guess what's in the mail time. And Ben, I think now we have the beauty of Skycam.
All right.
Okay.
Big box.
This is a giant box, actually. It's huge. So we'll just take this right across here. Oh, this is fun. All right, push it in here like this.
Good.
All right.
Good.
You can see it. Okay. This is a giant box, Ben Churchill. All right. There's all kinds of paper in here, so I'll just take some of this out.
Huh.
I know. Unless, is this the present? Is this all? Can you imagine?
Guess what this is.
Ben, this is paper. So far, I'm still with paper. Still going paper. I see something. Uh-oh. I just broke it. Oh, my God. All right, wait, hold on. So this is in two pieces. So I think this is how this goes.
Oh, let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, close, yeah. Anything else that you want to check?
All right, let me look at what else. More paper. Lots and lots of paper.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
No note?
Make sure. Is there a note? Unless they wrote it on some of this. No, it's all empty. No,
I'm checking each paper.
Okay. I goofed. No, Ben, I don't see anything here.
All right. Wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't be the first time.
Here you go. I'm trading you.
Okay. Let me see. All righty.
We wouldn't get a note. We've gotten stuff in the mail before.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. So it does happen.
Okay. What do we got there?
Okay. So this is a long kind of a tubular thing here with things coming off of the sides and towards the back of the object. There's a little thing that spins here on the way back of the object. And up front, there's another, like, things coming off of the side. Two things. So I'm going to guess that this is an aeroplane of some sort. I'm going to say that this is, yes, yes. Yeah, because these have to be wings here. These in the front, I don't know what that, I don't know. Unless that all spins, but it doesn't move on this one. So, and there's some wheels on the bottom as well that you can see here. Just the one, right? Oh, two.
Yeah, a little more of this towards me. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so here's the bottom of it.
Yeah. A little closer towards me?
Closer towards you.
On the table, though.
On the table, gotcha. Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sure, I don't have to hold things up. We have Skycam, for heaven's sakes.
So you got the wheels.
Yeah, so this is the bottom of it here, and there's wheels and stuff. And, like, this has to be some sort of propeller, I would imagine. So, yeah, this is cool. Now, is this, did somebody, well, we don't have a note, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really neat.
What kind of plane do you think it is?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so this is, I would say this is a larger plane, but I would say this is like, you know what, maybe like an old friend of ours had one. I'm going to say like a Cessna. Like a small little, like a four-seater, six-seater.
No, this looks like a military.
Military plane?
Military plane. Old school. Let me take a closer look at it.
Like a biplane or something like that, an old World War One, like Snoopy and the Red Baron kind of thing.
Yeah, not much information here. G-A-O-Y.
G-A-O-Y.
G-A-O-Y is what's written on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an old fighter jet. It's an old fighter plane.
A fighter plane.
Old fighter plane.
Wow.
Yep. I'd say, World War One.
World War One. Okay, so this is sort of Snoopy and the Red Baron kind of thing.
Exactly.
Wow.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, like, this is called a biplane.
Well, there's only one. Wouldn't biplane be two something? Two wings? I don't know.
Yeah, because this is like one wing through, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I don't know.
So, okay. So, we're
close. World War One fighter aircraft.
That's why it's good to have information. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sending that in. That's fantastic for another round, everybody. A successful round, too, of Guess What's in the Mail. As Ben crumples paper here,
Looking for any notes. Nothing here.
No, I guess there's nothing. But that's a neat thing. Whomever sent that in, thank you very much. It's a very cool piece. it's awesome. I love, like, models of things like this to me are fascinating because I don't, again, like, when am I going to get to touch an entire airplane? You know what I mean? They're sort of busy at the airport, you know what I mean? Excuse me, could I just walk the length of this thing real fast before we take... Why, sir?
And there's what? One pilot in there?
In that one.
In this little plane.
Yeah. Well, some of these old planes only had enough room for one guy. Like, there was one, was it the B-2 or something like that, I think, that they had one in Bridgeport. And we actually went up inside of it one time for some aviation thing we were doing with the radio station. I don't even remember. But you could go up in it, and, like, the pilot was all crouched down. It was, you know, because there was no room. Yeah, aviation's fascinating to me. I love it. I really do. And I'd love to fly. Yeah, like, I'd like to go up in a fighter jet or something like that. You know what I mean? Go, you know, do some of that zero gravity, you know, no G's or what? No, what is it? Where you feel the gravity when you take off. Just pushing against you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
G-force?
G-force, yep. Because you just go right up.
Or do the thing what NASA does, zero simulators. Gravity.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'd like to go do that. That'd be fun.
That'd be crazy.
That would. But
I think there's a bunch of YouTubers did that back in the day. I think iChristine, was that her name?
iJustine. The one who does all the Mac stuff, right?
Yeah, back in the day, I think she did it once.
Wow. Yeah. I still watch her stuff. She's always good for an update, you know? And she does all the reviews for anything that's coming out from Apple.
All right, let's close up the overhead.
Let's close up the overhead. Let's take her down. Good night, everybody. And back to regular view. Hi.
Hi.
There we are. How we doing?
All right, let's pull up this news story. You were mentioning the tourist attraction, a famous tourist attraction
here. Now, there's a famous tourist attraction here that we're going to show you something. You're not going to believe this. This is video. I don't know.
About 10 minutes from us, right? 15 minutes.
Yeah, not terribly far at all. It's very close.
Pretty much next town over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And watch what's happening.
Firefighters extinguish a homeless tent fire at 9 in the morning right on the world-famous Venice Boardwalk, teeming with tourists. That same night, just blocks away,
another
homeless encampment goes up in flames in a residential neighborhood. Every week in Venice lately, there are encampment fires.
It's crazy.
Alan Parsons is a tech engineer who lives near a Venice encampment complete with its own generators.
They have all these nearby homes, right? Are they putting these nearby homes in danger with embers? Are the propane tanks that are going to explode?
And the unhoused residents of Venice also feel in danger.
Well, every day there's fires, guns, knives.
Jack Rivers says he's lived in his own tent on the Venice Boardwalk for 5 months. He tells us most of these fires are arson, the work of other homeless residents.
When a tent goes up in flames, what's the cause?
Usually a misunderstanding over money or drugs.
The IT...
Wow. But I noticed the reporter has a mask on and the person he was interviewing does not.
No.
Yeah. And I know you can tell. Wowee. So this is a very famous thing. I mean, this is Muscle Beach, right? The boardwalk. It's been in tons of films and tons of you've seen this all the time, right? This is one of the biggest things that people come out here to see. And the real estate is very expensive because you're right on the beach. You're right there.
This guy on YouTube, we'll jump over to the other video here for a second.
Okay.
Now, it is sad.
Welcome to Venice Beach, California, where thousands and thousands of people come every summer and suck up the sun.
This video just broke 1 million views, by the way. It's been climbing the last month.
Wow.
Lay on the beach and enjoy the craziness, what's going on Venice Beach. Venice used to be the number one visitor spot in Southern California. More people used to come to Venice Beach than going to Disneyland. Did you know that?
Nope.
But changed.
Wow.
What happened to Venice?
This guy is named German in Venice.
Oh, okay.
This is on the way to Venice. This is Venice Boulevard right here. And these are the structures right underneath the overpass.
Under the overpass.
On Venice Boulevard.
Yeah, this is everywhere.
All over the place, right? All over Venice.
A lot of people have been evicted. There was the homeless problem. Existed already, really got worse
really
in LA
did.
In 2017.
Yep.
But with the lockdown and COVID and all this,
Now, what they've done, they've taken some of the homeless and put them in hotels, but I feel like that might be over now. They're just back. And they, like, they attack each other, which is nuts to me.
So there's some problems out here. The government's really got to do something here. Or yeah, somebody's got
to. Somebody's got to step up and do something, because you can't have this. I mean, these are.
We'll provide some toilets here.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this, let me jump ahead, because it shows you.
A fire breaks out. A couple of weeks ago, there was a fire right here.
And a lot, and I guess they're not doing pickup of large items in certain parts of LA County, and this, or at least Venice.
Oh,
and
you mean so, trash pickup and stuff?
Trash pickup of large items. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like couches. So there's a lot of that everywhere. So
Whoa.
It looks like people have been kicked out of their homes and they're on the streets, and it's getting really bad out here. But it's a reality. They're not showing a lot of this.
This is Venice Boulevard, one block from the beach.
Yep. Tent after tent after tent.
Wow.
It's really.
This guy. Got his own little island with the front yard.
Wow.
I can totally understand all the neighbors. The real estate is so expensive in Venice. They're fed up with seeing all those homeless people being right in front of their house.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. This is so tough.
How much do you have any prices for some of these? I'm not the ones that we're seeing, but just average sort of, you know, what a home costs in this neighborhood, just to put it in perspective.
In Venice, this neighborhood, if you go on Zillow and look at all these houses, they're between $1 and $4 million.
Whew.
These little tiny pieces of property of 4-bedroom homes.
Wow. They're 4 bedrooms?
3-bedroom, whatever. Wow. 3 to 4. Yeah.
Wow.
And there's a lot of fires.
Could you imagine if you owned some of that? Oh my God, I'd be going out of my mind.
Here is, yeah. But it's... Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because it's these are people.
I know they're people, and it's
the police presence.
Sorry, I'm gonna go back to the
back to the TV piece,
because they talk about the cops and how they're trying to help out.
Okay.
To make matters worse, residents say they've noticed the police presence on Venice Beach has recently gone down. One neighbor gave the I-Team this cell phone video of beach police seeming to confirm that.
They just officially cut our unit in half. And then they told us not to even mess with them.
On the video, you can hear the cops say they've been told recently by politicians to leave the homeless alone.
What we used to do, we can't do anymore based upon political situations.
In contrast to what those off...
Wow, based on political situations.
This is like a hidden camera, Mike.
Yeah, well, he said it was cell phone video, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they know they're being recorded.
No, I don't think so either. But we'll put it on TV anyway.
Yeah.
Officers on the ground say...
Which I think is illegal. And
I think so, too.
I don't know.
LAPD's official statement to the I-Team says the department continues to lead with services and follow up with enforcement as a last resort.
Okay.
So I wanted to have the statement in there. So
yeah.
So Venice is...
Venice is in big trouble right now.
Yeah.
In
pretty bad.
Giant trouble, and it's heartbreaking. It really is, you know, for everybody involved.
Yep, and Santa Monica is starting to get affected by it too, and the whole area. LA is, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, downtown LA is not some place you know.
So I want to keep an eye on this place, see what happens. Hopefully,
I mean, I'd like to see this improve, because it's heartbreaking, and it's a beautiful. I mean. You know, when you first got here and I come out to visit you and stuff, we went and had dinner on the pier and there was all kinds of musicians and all sorts of nutty entertainment. Remember, we had a couple of fun nights over on the Venice Pier.
Yep.
The boardwalk.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some services. I know I've talked to the police and they said they do send out these groups, right? These where they a lot of volunteers. They go and they engage.
Offer counseling,
help
all kinds
them.
Of different things. Yep.
Fine, but they can only get to so many people so fast.
Well, yeah.
And it takes a long time.
Yeah, and there's a lot out there. And there's probably more coming every day.
Yeah, so I'm going to check back in and see what this guy posts any other videos.
Let's keep an eye on him, yeah, because he's an interesting guy. And I like his style. I like the way he presents it. You know, he's right down the middle, you know. He's not passing any judgment or anything like that. So, yeah, let's keep an eye on him.
I think
he's good.
There too.
Yeah, he sounds like a local.
Oh, yeah.
He certainly does.
There you go, Tommy.
Ben Churchill.
Wraps up another.
Hey, man, this was great. This is a lot of fun tonight, huh?
Yes, sir.
Good times, everybody. Thank you so much for watching and enjoying this thing. And, of course, you know, let me just cover a couple things for you real quick. This podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts in audio form, okay? So, at Michelle's place there, over at Spotify, or One day there's people laugh at that gag, I hope. Anyway.
Well, the first time.
Well, you know me. I like to beat a dead horse. I'm a comedy pig, everybody. Yeah, but it's still over there on Spotify and Apple Music and Google and the rest. And you can watch it on YouTube any old time you like. So that's where you can find the podcast. A couple of things to mention here real quick. If you want to help us out, if you feel like you'd like to help out the show, we have a Patreon. And there's a couple different levels that you can participate at. One of them gets you some access to, we put up bonus clips every week, one a week. So at the $5 level, you can get that. If you go for the $10 level, you can have that access to all those clips and a new one every week and get a question. And of course, a shout out for everybody on the air as well, on the podcast. So that's how that works over on Patreon. And it is Christmas time coming up. So, I mean, you know, they're going to be showing Hallmark movies and Christmas ones in probably a week or two.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not kidding, by
Can't
the way.
Wait.
No, I love Hallmark Christmas. I can't help it. It's a riot. But you're going to be looking for Christmas gifts and things like that for the person that's got everything. They don't have any Blind Film Critic swag. I can almost guarantee it. Or Tommy has an experience swag. So we have all kinds of things that are available for you. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, phone cases, coffee mugs, and more. And that's all available for you at TommyEdison.com/store. And the Patreon, I didn't even give you the URL for that. My bad. The Patreon is patreon.com/TommyEdison. And that's all the plugs and things like that. It's been great fun tonight. I thank you for checking it out. And you know what we're going to do, Ben?
What are we going to do?
We're going to be back soon. Okay? Until then.
Flag off. That cookie makes me nervous.